We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more.
Welcome back to the Walter's World Podcast. It is April 20th, Monday. I'm joined by my guests, Cole and Caleb.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be on the show. So my name is Caleb Lawson. I'm a political commentator, columnist, and activist. My goal in politics is to help educate, open the eyes of the next generation, my generation, Gen Z. Because as you know, they're being indoctrinated by the school system, by the college system, by social media and their Hollywood stars and pretty much everything. So they need to be woken up. They need their eyes open. And that is my personal goal, is to help make America great again and keep it great through education.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm not going to be able to beat that introduction, so we'll just keep it simple. My name is Cole. I'm 17. I'm from Northern Kentucky, and I'm a current intern with the Republican Party of Kentucky and with Kat Kamak's congressional campaign in Florida 3. And basically all the stuff that Caleb said, I am a huge conservative. I am aiming to bring that awareness to Generation Z because, as he said, we are being heavily indoctrinated by our public schools. I escaped my public school last year, thank God. I don't know what I would have done. So now I am a free mind, and I am working to spread conservative awareness.
That's great.
So, all right, guys, thanks. It's a pleasure having you. So today we're going to go into our first topic, the 2020 election. So the 2020 election is a big news topic right now. We're about 7 months away from the election right now. And right now it's looking like it's going to be Trump versus Biden.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Trump versus Biden, I think it's going to be easy. I think that President Trump is going to win by a landslide against sleepy, creepy, quid pro Joe. I don't think there's even it's not even like going to be close, in my opinion. You look at the polls, you look at how many donations Trump is getting. You look back before the coronavirus, crowd sizes. I mean, there was more people in line for the bathroom at a Trump rally than there were at a Biden rally. So, you know, it's I think Trump has this in the bag. And you look at the polls, when he won, he had a 36% approval rating when he won the election back in 2016. Today, his approval rating is soaring. Right now, he's 60% approval handling the coronavirus. You know, almost 80% of Americans approved of his State of the Union address, whereas 95% of Republicans approve of Trump, which is fantastic. That's better than Abraham Lincoln. I mean, and you look at the Black approval as well. He had 8% of the Black vote in 2016. Today, according to Rasmussen, he has 43% approval. 43% is fantastic. If you can hold that up, believe me, he'll win. Plus, Bernie Sanders supporters, 15% of Bernie supporters said they would vote for Trump over Joe Biden, according to ABC. 15% of Bernie supporters. That's fantastic. If this can hold up, believe me, it'll be a landslide. It won't even be close. It's going to be fantastic. Trump 2020 all the way.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, we see who he's running against, right? The man can't finish a sentence. I mean, he's incoherent. Have you seen, did you all see his most recent interview? I believe it was on MSNBC. I mean, he's been doing these interviews from his basement. I'd like to think the technology is just cutting out down there, but we know it's him. I mean, I don't understand how people can support someone that can't even get a sentence out of their mouth. But yeah, I totally agree. It's Trump 2020 all the way. He should have it easy. I mean, I don't think that the race will be as big of a landslide as we had hoped. Unfortunately, I think that the mainstream media is going to get in the way with that a little bit because with coronavirus, of the coronavirus handling, unfortunately.
What I'm more worried about is who he picks for vice president, because if he picks someone like, I don't know, like Kamala Harris, Stacey Abrams, you know, Cory Booker, any of those people, I think whoever he picks there is going to be really important because, you know, what if he gets in there and they're like, he's unfit to be president. His mind is just going. It's like going out, and he can't govern the country anymore. I think, you know, then the vice president gets to come in and then they get to run for two more terms. And so I think that could be a move by the DNC, but we'll just have to see. So who do you guys think Biden will pick for vice president?
No doubt a woman. I think he's already mentioned that he wants a woman to be his VP.
Yeah.
But I think potentially he can pick someone of color. A woman of color would be probably his best pick. I've heard someone mention that he could potentially pick Michelle Obama, which would definitely pose a larger threat against President Trump. And that would be something I would be worried about. But I know if he was smart, which he's not, as as you guys were already saying, he's not very smart, but he's not, his campaign's not being run by him anyway. So I don't think he's going to be choosing his vice president anyway. So if the Biden campaign chooses a woman of color, it would be their best bet to try to defeat President Trump. But I still think, even if they chose Michelle Obama, I still honestly believe that we have this in the bag. I still believe Donald Trump's going to win, no matter who he chooses for his vice president.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I just read an article yesterday that said the Biden campaign was looking for a Michelle Obama endorsement. Obviously, we saw that Barack Obama finally endorsed Joe Biden after waiting months before he should have done it. But he never clinched the Michelle Obama endorsement. So they're trying to edge Michelle Obama to give her endorsement and also to get in a position with the campaign, which to me doesn't sound like she's being pinpointed as a potential vice presidential candidate. I think that they want her on the campaign trail with him to encourage votes, to get voters rally. But I don't think that Michelle Obama is being pinpointed as a potential vice president. If it were up to me, I think if he was being smart, Joe Biden is more of a moderate candidate. I think that that's honestly one of his biggest advantages in this campaign. We know that he's very popular amongst minority voters. We saw that in the South Carolina primaries. I think if he was smart, he would go with someone like Amy Klobuchar. I know that's kind of a name that doesn't come up all too much, but she's a moderate that agreed with a lot of his ideals. And I think that, you know, if what the media says is correct and Biden does eventually step down from the Oval Office or the presidency due to health issues, then Klobuchar would be the ideal person to take his position because she's basically him in woman form. My nightmare scenario would be if Stacey Abrams became his vice president because the woman can't even win her own governor's election and preaches fraud, even though there was absolutely none to be found. But I believe wholeheartedly his likely vice presidential candidate will unfortunately be Kamala Harris. It's just, it's all over the news. I think that there's way too much evidence to suggest that, and I think it'll be her.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was her. Some people were saying maybe like a wild card Elizabeth Warren, but I don't know. They don't agree on enough policy, I don't think.
I think she's too progressive.
Yeah. Well, and I think the idea behind that was to get some of the Bernie voters to hopefully come over to Biden's side, but a lot of the Bernie voters don't even like Elizabeth Warren because she's basically a carbon copy of Bernie's policies in woman form. And, you know, she was up there in the primaries. Yeah. I think you're right, Cole. I think Kamala Harris will probably be the one he picks. Going into Bernie voters, a lot of people have been speculating, like you said earlier, 15% of them would prefer to vote for Trump over Joe Biden. I think a lot of them are either going to not vote or they'll vote for the Green Party candidate, Howie Hankins, I believe, to hopefully give them some more funding and recognition and get them above 5%. I just don't see a lot of them voting for Biden, though.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, you see it just all over Twitter. In person, I've seen it and pretty much everywhere. Bernie voters do not like Joe Biden. They just don't. And that's why I point to the 15% vote for Trump. I think that's very likely. And like you said, I think many of them just won't vote because they don't like Trump either. So I think it's going to help us that Biden won. Of course, we would have had a bigger landslide if Bernie won because he is an actual communist. So people wouldn't vote for a communist. But I still think we have it. But I do believe Bernie voters are not going to really help Joe Biden out too much.
I don't either.
I agree.
One thing I've noticed, I was watching One American News yesterday, talking about the Senate and House seats up for grabs in 2020. Republicans are being severely out-campaigned and outfunded by Democrats right now in Senate and House seats, especially Senate seats. You know, Martha McSally in Arizona, Mitch McConnell in Kentucky, he's being out-campaigned pretty bad right now. So we'll just have to see. One thing that worries me is everyone's going on to Trump and giving him money when, you know, we need Senate and House seats too. And then if Trump were to win, which we're pretty sure he probably will the Democrats in the House push impeachment again?
I would say yes. I would definitely say that the Democrats, they're going to push impeachment until the very end of his presidency, four more years of it. But, you know, they've been doing it since, I mean, you see, they've been trying to push for impeachment since before he was even elected. You know, whether it was just, oh, he's a bad president and he says bad things, to Russia and collusion, and then his tax returns, and then the quid pro quo slash the whole Ukraine call. The obstruction of Congress. I mean, it goes on and on. They keep on trying, and every single attempt falls flat on their faces. I mean, honestly, every single time is a fail. The Democrats cannot defeat President Trump, and every single time, it's proven that President Trump is practically indestructible when it comes to the attacks from the left and from the Democrats. And so they're going to continue to try, but they will not win. So I do believe they are going to try to impeach him again for, you know, for jaywalking or something, you know, putting ketchup on a hot dog. I mean, he's going to do anything, and they're going to call it impeachable. They will not win. They're going to fail. And I can't wait to see what they throw on him next. I mean, it's going to be very entertaining, that's for sure.
You know, I agree. And I would say that especially if Shifty Schiff has anything to do with it, because he needs something to be proud of. He doesn't have all too much right now. They're going to go after it again. And like you said, Caleb, it's going to continue until he's out of office. I mean, I don't think they're ever going to uncover anything, but it's easily going to go to 2024 if he gets reelected. I mean, it's just going to go all the way through. And while I do want to circle back to one thing that you mentioned, McConnell was being severely out-campaigned, and I just want to talk a little bit about that for just a second, because I am in Northern Kentucky, so he is my senator, and I have got to say that that is 100% true. There are yard signs and highway signs and ads popping up everywhere. And I don't really think that his biggest challenge is going to be the Democrats, surprisingly. I think it's going to be the Republican primary, is because he has so many rivals in the Republican primary. And I think he has an advantage because most people just go into the voting booth and they just check the box next to incumbent. I mean, that's what they do. It's just human nature. But I think that his biggest issue is going to be in the Republican primary. They're still out fundraising him, even just within the Republican primary. You know, I don't think Democrats really come into question all too much, because I'm not even sure he's going to make it that far.
Yeah. You know, hopefully he can get it. But I think some of those Senate races are going to show, you know, future projections of how politics are kind of going to go in some areas. You know, they got a lot of money. They're campaigning a lot. But I think it's important that we push those Senate and House seats and try to keep and flip them red. You know, we're all focused on Trump right now, and that's a good thing because you want to secure the presidency. But if they mess around and get Senate and House seats and have the majority, they'll just keep pushing impeachment. So yeah, circling back to the impeachment and sort of merging into coronavirus, the Senate and House have played quite a role in coronavirus so far. And you've almost got to wonder if their impeachment had anything to do with coronavirus. You know, like, was it delayed by the impeachment? Would we have got information sooner if Congress wasn't all caught up in impeachment?
I think we would have gotten something sooner. I think that their impeachment sham, like, single-handedly delayed the coronavirus information from reaching the United States, because we saw early on Wuhan struggle with the coronavirus, and we saw that ginormous spread throughout China. We could have done something more, I feel like, to prevent the spread here. President Trump couldn't have done something more, but Congress could have done something more to prevent the spread here. But they were all too focused on the impeachment sham at that point. So it's just really poor leadership on their part.
And then, yeah, then you got, I mean, further into the coronavirus here a few weeks ago, they had the opportunity to pass the coronavirus relief bill, but they were trying to put more stuff into it. One of the congressmen, it was from South Carolina, he said that this was their chance to reshape America and turn it into what they wanted. And now it's just not the time to do that. You know, you have people losing jobs, people getting sick, people dying. That's not the time to be pushing solar legislation. So yeah, I think Congress has handled business the last few months very poorly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. The Democrats in Congress, it's disgraceful, honestly.
What do you guys think the impact on the economy will be long-term from coronavirus? Do you think we'll recover in a few weeks or?
I think it'll probably take more than a few weeks. I mean, we were hit pretty hard by it, but there's no doubt in my mind that we'll recover. I mean, President Trump is kind of like an economic genius, in my opinion. That is the one issue that he has championed. I mean, there's a lot that he's done, but that is the one thing, in my opinion, that he has been a true champion of is our economy and getting our jobs back to America, which kind of is a nice segue into my next point that we need to be leaving China now more than ever.
I agree.
I mean, after seeing what this has done, not only to the United States and China, but to the globe as a whole, we need to be leaving China. I don't understand why we're still outsourcing there. I know it's cheap, but, you know, at some point, money is just out of the question. You know, the health has to take some bit of a impact in that decision.
I agree. And, you know, the mm-hmm. power that China wants, we need to become independent.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the, in my opinion, I think that I absolutely agree with you guys. But the, you know, Trump hit, like you said, Cole, Trump is a champion on the economy and he always has been. I mean, he's a businessman. No one would have expected differently. He's handled the economy amazingly. No one's handled it better than President Trump in all of history, in my opinion. He's built the greatest economy in the history of the world, and I believe he can do it again. And I think it will be fairly quickly, too. Maybe not in a few weeks, but before the election, no doubt, the economy will be back up and running, stronger than ever before. I think it's just a matter of time. I'm very excited for it, but we'll just have to wait. Trump has it under control. I believe he'll build it back up real quick, and it will be powerful and strong, just like it was before the China virus.
I agree. So, Caleb, you're down in Florida. What kind of impact have you seen on coronavirus in Florida so far? I know Governor DeSantis reopened the beaches the other day. What else have you experienced down there?
I think that Governor Ron DeSantis is doing a fantastic job. He's a great governor. Yes, he opened the beaches, and I think that was actually a good move. I think he should continue to open things. I think that we need to get this country back up and running. It's really the coronavirus, of course, was a big deal. People were hurting from it. I actually know people who died from the China virus, but it is not as big of a deal as the media and the Democrats are trying to play it to be. It really is. Trump is right. We need to get the economy back up and running. We need to open up the country. And I think Ron DeSantis is going to continue to open up the state, which I'm very excited for personally.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Cole, what about Kentucky? Have you experienced anything similar to that?
Kind of the exact opposite. My governor has been a disaster. Governor Bevin was an amazing governor. And unfortunately, our state pensions were left undealt with for so many years. And when Governor Bevin took action on that as another champion of Kentucky's economy, kind of a President Trump on a smaller scale, he was slammed pretty hard by it. And we elected a complete immature child into the governor's mansion. And he has handled this exactly like a child would. He has closed up absolutely everything except for the abortion clinics, which is absolutely horrible in my opinion. I still can't fathom the decision making that went into that. We have Republican majorities in every other office in the Kentucky state government, and yet we cannot close abortion clinics. It's kind of beyond me, but it's kind of been a disaster. I'm hoping that we'll reopen soon, but it's going to be a slow recovery. We don't exactly have big brains in the governor's mansion right now.
Here in Georgia, it's kind of a mix. Obviously, with Atlanta, they've kind of been handling it a little bit differently than the rest of the state. But I think the best thing that Trump has done on this so far was telling the governors, you know what, you know what's best for your state. You handle it. If you need to reopen now, you can. If you need to wait, you know, a few more weeks, do that. But giving the power to the states, I think, was a really good move by him.
And then before we move on to the next topic, I just want to bring up why I personally think that we should open up the country again, because people keep saying, you know, we need to stay locked up for months and months longer. And I don't think that the American people can continue to stay locked up And I don't think businesses can continue to stay locked up. My family owns a small business. We're photographers. And we cannot stay closed down. Businesses, small businesses, are shutting down and closing the doors for good. We can't continue to let that happen. We're going to go bankrupt. And, you know, all these different businesses are just struggling so much. And families are struggling so much. And it's a forced shutdown. And the government needs to fix this by opening it up again. And I believe that Trump's going to do it. And he's doing it well. I'm excited for that. And why do you guys think that we should open up the economy and country? What is your opinion on that?
I agree with you. Mainly the small businesses, because you don't really realize how much of a backbone they are to the economy until something like this happens. But with them having to shut down and close for this, you know, a lot of people getting laid off, losing jobs, losing income, you know, that's a problem. That's just another bad thing this shutdown has done. I think it's important to reopen soon, get everybody back to work.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and as you know, when economic crisis happens, suicide goes up, drug overdose goes up, and we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself, which is the coronavirus. And so that's why, you know, we can't let more people commit suicide. We can't let more people overdose on drugs. We can't let more businesses shut down and families starve to death. Next step, open up the economy, open up the country.
I agree. Now we'll move into the next topic, the 2024 election, which seems kind of early because it's 4 years away, but it is on the horizon. So who do you guys want or think we'll get for the Republican nominee?
I personally think it'll either end up being Ted Cruz or Nikki Haley, and I don't have a problem with either one of them. Well, you know, I would probably like to see Matt Gaetz run. I think it's highly unlikely, but if I was going to favor anyone, it's going to be him for basically any office. But yeah, I think it'll either be Ted Cruz or Nikki Haley, and like I said, I don't have a problem with either one of them. Rand Paul might have a chance, but he's got a libertarian edge, which is beneficial in some ways, but it hurts him when it comes time for primaries and elections more than it benefits him, in my opinion. You're not only trying to sway the people that are conservative libertarians, you're trying to sway the people like the Mitt Romneys that are Republicans in name only. I think it's kind of more of a setback and a drawback to him than it is a benefactor. Of course, during elections, when he's in office, it's highly beneficial.
I agree. Who do you think, Caleb?
Whoever it's going to be, I know I want it to be someone who's going to be strong, like President Trump, a strong leader. We can't have any more Mitt Romneys as the nominee. You know, we cannot be the party of Mitt Romney anymore. We need to move on to continue to be the party of Donald Trump. And he's a winner. We need to be the party of winners. And so I think we should push someone just as strong as Trump. And so I think some good choices would be Vice President Mike Pence. He's been proven to be a great leader, especially right now during the whole China virus pandemic. He's been great. Don Jr. would actually be a pretty interesting choice. Now, I'm not big on dynasties, so I don't know about that for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
But I do like Don Jr. He's a great guy. I've met him on multiple occasions. He would be fantastic as well. Ted Cruz, he's great. Texas Ted, I love him. I think he would be a good leader. But my personal favorite, and this is actually kind of controversial because a lot of people either don't really know too much about him, but Michael Knowles. Michael Knowles, I think, would be a great president. He reminds me of Reagan, but he is a little bit stronger in a way of looking more like Trump in a way. Very strong conservative values. I think he has a sense of humor as well. We need that. We need someone entertaining like Trump. And so I think Michael Knowles could potentially be a good candidate, and I think he would be a good leader for the country.
I like Michael Knowles. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people would want him to go into maybe Congress or you know, get a House or Senate seat, maybe in state government or something first, just to see how he performs. But yeah, he's one of my favorite political commentators. I would love to have him. I like Mike Pence, but I just don't know. We need somebody like Trump that'll fight the media and be entertaining and be strong. Pence is strong, but I'm not sure how he would go with the media and everything like that. Because you need someone that fights back, you know, like Reagan did, like Trump does. You know, Bush usually just didn't do anything about it and took it. But so I think you need someone like Trump in there to fight back against the media, because they're more against the right and conservatives than ever.
I agree.
So assuming Biden doesn't win this election cycle, who do you guys think will be the Democrat nominee for 2024?
I think a lot of different options. One big name that has come up recently that I think could be a prominent figure in 2024. Now, he has said himself to his own brother on CNN that he would never run for president. But Andrew Cuomo has come up multiple times, most prominently in the fact that Democrats would rather have him right now than Joe Biden, according to multiple polls. So I think that he could be a prominent figure. I also think, unfortunately, Stacey Abrams might be a prominent figure. You can't tell, I'm really not a fan of her. But if I'm exploring like all the options, I have seen multiple articles that have pinpointed AOC as a possible candidate. She will hit that age requirement. I think it said like the month before the election, she will just like barely squeak by. And it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, unfortunately, she's built a strong enough base to where it's not inconceivable. It would be absolutely devastating to the United States of America, or should I say the Democratic People's Republic of America, if she wins. But it's possible. I really hate to think about it, but it's really possible.
Yeah, I think she's almost like the new face of the party, her and Bernie. Like a few years ago, it was you know, Obama, Biden, those type of people, the more moderates. And now these people make Obama look like a conservative. I mean, a few months ago, Washington Post, I believe, or maybe it was New York Times, they had an opinion article out. They were calling Obama a conservative. And I just thought that was so crazy, because in 2008, 2012, most conservatives thought that Obama was the farthest thing away from them that could possibly be in existence. I mean, Obama was the hardcore left-wing Democrat. And, you know, now you've got Bernie and AOC, Ilhan Omar, and they're quite literally socialists. They're trying to run for office for president, and, you know, they're already in office for Congress. So it's just crazy how much it can change in 10 or 12 years.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, you look back at the party, the Democratic Party of JFK, and they really look like Republicans to me. They were Republicans in a way, with their views compared to today. Obama, even. I mean, back then when Obama became president, Barack Obama was far left. He was very, very far left. But now compared to, like you said, Bernie Sanders and AOC, which, by the way, AOC presidency would be absolutely, that would be dangerous. That would be a very, very scary thing. I mean, a communist in general, any communist, would be a very scary thing to have running for president, like Bernie Sanders, the nominee, or especially the president. It would just be a disaster. But yeah, no, it's just crazy how fast the Democrats have moved left. We haven't moved too much, but the Democrats just continue to move left. And one day, the entire party is just going to be a bunch of communists. It's just going to be the Communist Party. Like, it's going to be ridiculous. But
I think in a few years, they really are going to have to make a new party. Because, you know, I'd say, I think I saw something the other day. It was like 25%. Of the Democrat voters, registered Democrats, would prefer a socialist over a moderate. And that's going to split the vote. I mean, that's going to keep them from electing a Biden or a Bernie or anyone, because it's pretty much half and half right now. So I think they're going to make a new party or something like that. Something's going to have to happen for them to be able to get somebody in there. I think, I don't know, Cuomo is probably their best pick. I would be the most scared of him. You know, there's also the possibility Bernie could run again. I'm just not sure if he'll be done for good. You know, maybe he comes in as like someone's vice president. I don't know. I don't think we've seen the last of Bernie after this.
I mean, possibly not. Bernie Sanders, you know, he can do anything. It's kind of crazy. He could come back out and run again and continue to run until the end of time. You just don't know. But what is he now? He's 280, 380. I don't know. What is he? He's been alive since the beginning of the country, practically. I mean, it's crazy. He is so old. He looks old. He looks like he looks and talks and acts like he belongs in a mental institute. It's crazy. He's lost his mind. And you can see that on when we were watching the debates. You can see that on the campaign trail. just look up any video of Bernie Sanders speaking and you're like, wow, this is an old, crazy man. And, you know, I think it's just going to get worse from here. And I don't know. I do personally think he's gone for good now, 2024 at least. I don't think he's going to be running. I don't think he's going to be the vice president. I think he's just kind of done. I think he should be done. I think he should go live the remaining days with his family. I think he's so old, he just needs to go retire and live with his family, because he's not going to get anywhere. He's clearly done. So we'll see. I mean, we will see. You know, anything can happen. So I guess we will see. I don't know. I think he might be done. Done for the count.
Yeah. One other thing I thought, this is kind of circling back to 2020. One funny thing I thought about this election so far, and especially through the Democrat primaries, if you look on Twitter, you look on Instagram, you look on all those social media, they always say they're tired of an old white guy running the country, especially Democrats. And then, you know, their top three were what? Who? Pete Buttigieg, Joe Biden, and Bernie Sanders.
Mike Bloomberg.
Like, Mike Bloomberg, yeah. How could I forget?
Mini Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like if that's what the Democrat voters want, I don't think the DNC wants it. All right, so that's about all we have time for today. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, Cole. It was a pleasure having you on, talking some politics today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on. It was great.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It was fun.
All right, thank you, guys. We will have more episodes of Walter's World soon. Thank you guys for listening.
And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come.